can breathe when I'm in your presence. I can see into my future where I'll be caught up in your presence.
Benny Hinn's favorite radio personality, broadcasting legend, Drew Marshall.
So I've listened to this song about 9 times. Do you hear a little Sade in this?
Yeah, like as soon as, to me, the thing that caught me right away is the tabla, which is the Indian kind of drums in the background there. I love it when people mix things and all the different cultures and styles. Very cool.
Folks, Rebecca Cruz is who we are listening to, known for her hit reality show on BET, The Family Cruz, alongside her actor-comedian, ex-NFL husband, Terry Cruz, who's been in a whole bunch of things. We don't want to talk about him. Releasing this debut single, Can I Stay? This summer, this thing is released, falling into the smooth jazz genre with a gospel pop influence. Fans can download the Summer Jam on July 8th. So it's coming up real quick, July 8th, when it hits radio stations across the country. Just have a listen to this. The single will be a teaser of what is yet to come when her full-length album releases in October. Joining us, all the way from, I don't know where the heck she is, star of one of the most recognized reality show families in the world, ladies and gentlemen, from Duck Dynasty, Rebecca Cruz.
I love it. Good morning, or afternoon. It's afternoon down here.
Can I suggest, being a Duck Dynasty family member, that you look into electrolysis? Because that beard on you does not work. It does not work. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me. This is so awesome.
I just want to make you one promise at the start of this interview. I am not going to bring up the peck pop even once during this interview.
You know what? I hate to tell you, but the whole family can peck pop.
No way!
Nice!
Man.
Well, yes, we had to practice. We said, Dad can't be the only one with the pop.
Okay, let's get into this. First of all, you are not a grandmother. Miss Gary, Indiana is a nana?
Yes, I am. My boo-boo is 4 years old.
My boo-boo.
Yes, I'm a grandma. That's what they call me, glamma.
Glamma. Now, is that Naomi's child?
Yes, absolutely. Little Miley Hernandez.
So you've got 93 kids here. Let's go through them. First of all, is it Asriel?
Asriel, yes.
Asriel, of all the children you have, this is the one that really wants to be a star. True?
Oh, yes. She's a musical theater major at NYU, about to graduate, I believe, in December, and very talented, very, very. I mean, this kid's got the goods.
Mm.
I'm always trying to take my career somewhere and then get her one going. She's like, Mom, you cannot manage me. Because she's just so phenomenal.
Oh, that's good.
And smart and bright and gifted. I just see great things for her.
Then we've got Tara. Is Tara next?
You know, Tara right now is exploring.
Okay.
She's an athlete, but she's also a musician. She's a singer-songwriter, plays guitar and piano, like her mommy.
Okay.
So we're working on Tara. She's still finding her zone.
Sure.
I'm not exactly sure.
Sure. Okay. Winfrey is next.
You know, Winfrey can sing, and she's very bright, and she's gone on some auditions. But, you know, we're real hesitant to push the kids into the business.
Yeah. Well, I would.
Other than the few things we've done as a family, we're not pushing anybody. We're kind of letting them come to us.
Okay.
So the talent, you know, the talent's there, but it's more than talent.
Okay, well, way to not be Mr. Michael Jackson's father. Way to not do that.
No, I don't have that in me. I don't have that push in me to be Joe Jackson. Although what he did with his kids was awesome to the extent he gave them what they have. I tell the kids all the time, oh, harmonize with me. And they're like, Mom, please. You know, you know, and I was a choir director and all those things. So, you know, I'm at home teaching parts and plunking them out and sing with me. And they're all groaning and like falling over the chair. Do we have to?
Now, speaking of Michael Jackson, can Isaiah do the moonwalk yet? Because he's the dancer.
Oh, he's an amazing dancer. He can moonwalk, backflip, slide. He does those cool, like, popping, locking moves like his dad. No, we've already got some YouTube hits on Isaiah dancing.
I can't believe your grandmother. So, hold on. So, 30 volume peroxide, that's got to burn.
Oh, honey, it does. But it's worth it. The glam is fabulous. It's just me. I can't part with it.
I lived in Australia for 5 years, and near the end, I kind of wanted to be, you know, a bit of a goof and, you know, the surf culture thing or whatever. And I did the peroxide in the hair thing, straight out bleached it, total white, just like yours, total white. And now I don't have any hair.
Is that because you bleached it or another reason?
I'm going to say it's because I bleached it, if you don't mind. Oh, man. All right, listen. Let's get into some of your story here, Rebecca. First of all, you dated What's-His-Face for about a year and a half.
Yes.
And then 1990, you know, I think that's when you got hitched. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you're close. We got married, actually, it was July of 1989.
89, okay.
89. My little girl was about 2 and a half when we got married, though she had been born in 87.
Okay.
And her father was not a part of my life. I mean, very shortly after the pregnancy was announced, he was gone. Hmm. And so there was the single motherhood, you know, and the church really took me in and helped me and formed me. And so I'm serving in my local church, and in walks this little cute, kind of skinny, scrawny ball player from the college. And asked me my name, and the rest is history.
Man. Yeah, but hold on. I don't think Big Peck Poppy really got... how much of the spotlight would get stolen from him, you know?
No, he did not. You know, can I tell you the truth? He was not a celebrity per se when we met. Right. Terry wasn't trying to go into the business in the front side.
Right.
He was hoping to be the maybe actor, director, writer guy. You know, he was trying to be the black Steven Spielberg, you know, that kind of thing. And he kind of, quote, ended up in acting. And has done so phenomenally. Now, granted, he was always a clown, but he didn't see what was coming, and I'm glad he didn't. He would have lost his mind.
All right, so for your 25th wedding anniversary, what did you do?
We actually, this year will be 25. I think there might be a surprise coming.
Oh.
A couple things have been dropped accidentally, so we'll see.
What? Tell me what?
Well, I can't say. You probably won't tell anybody.
No, I won't tell anybody.
Okay. My mom made a comment the other day, so I think hubby is scheming behind my back. We gonna have a little surprise party. But don't tell anybody.
I won't tell a soul. I won't tell a soul. And now I'm just trying to figure out the chronology here. Are you the cougar in the relationship?
I am the cougar. I am 2 years older than Terry. And I was, oh my God, get ready. I was 22, and he was 20.
Yeah.
When we got married.
Man.
And literally his birthday, right before his birthday, so his birthday was the following, so he wasn't even legal to drink, and he took me down the aisle.
That's good. That's good.
Yes, they're babies, but you know, little Christian couple, like a better get married.
Otherwise, you burn.
That's right. It ain't no playing around.
Nope.
I said, look, you the one? Yes. Come on. Take you into the pastor.
Giddy up.
Yes.
Biracial, back in the day. What does that feel like? Because I am as white as a saltine cracker. I mean, I am just crazy white. I mean, Irish, Scottish, white. And you got to...
Oh, I'm Irish Scottish.
I know. That's why I brought that up. Okay. So you got that with dad, and then mom's African-American, right? Am I getting this? Am I figuring all this out?
African-American. Yeah. She's got a little Native Indian back there in the back. But, yes, we were a very unusual-looking family in 1965. And it was hard. You know, people don't treat you nice, and sometimes they wonder what you are. So the question is, what color are you? Or,
well,
you know, how do you make your hair do that?
When you type your name, because I had to creep on you before doing the interview here, and when you type your name into Google, it prompts you with other words, you know, et cetera words after your name. And the second one was race. And there was all these, you know, websites about what race is Rebecca Cruz? What race is she? How come people are so fixated on that?
I have no idea, but I can tell you it's a part of my culture.
Yeah.
It's a part of my culture. From the time I was a little girl, people wondered what I was. So I wrote a song about it. It'll be on the album.
Excellent. Nice segue. That was good. So I would imagine that back in Indiana, it would be a little trippy for some people from the maybe the Archie Bunker side of the street to have a black beauty queen.
You know, it's funny. They thought I was white.
No.
Yes, they did. I went to a parade in, like, somewhere, one of those little outskirts towns, and the people were saying, oh, Miss Gary is white this year. How fun. They didn't know I was a black girl. So I don't know if I would have gotten invited if they thought, if they knew I was a black girl. Because there is a, you know, a racist element in southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
There are some places you don't want to get off the freeway and go potty by yourself if you're not, you know, lighter, brighter, and looking like you're whiter. So,
My assistant here, Tim the Tool, really liked that one.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So this is what I understand. And folks, if you sign up for the Jesus program, then immediately what happens afterwards is you win a beauty pageant, and then you meet Bill Cosby, Sammy Davis Jr., and you go to a dinner event hosted by Oprah. That's what happens as soon as you sign up for Jesus.
I tell you, that is exactly what happened. I got to be like the beauty queen of my little hometown for a whole year and a half shortly after I became a Christian. I mean, it was like a nightmare. It was like a nightmare, to be honest, because I wasn't able to comprehend why I was suddenly thrust into the spotlight. I did that beauty pageant just to get money for school. I said, heck, if I get second place, that's $3,000. I can, you know, help myself go to college and go where I want to go instead of to the little cheap college where, you know, my mom wants me to go so we can afford it. And so it was, for me, not a title. It was just a way to, you know, make a living. And I won. And I was like, oh, my God, I won. And then I went on this journey, which was a precursor to everything I do today. So I say, you know, heaven knows.
Well, your grandfather knew. I mean, your grandfather and grandmother, were they not preachers who've been praying their faces off for you for a long time?
Oh, I believe that with all my heart. God rest their soul. My father was a PK who wasn't so, you know, little upright, little married him a black girl and took her home, you know. So I think he was trying to create a little stir, you know. And they were just my biggest supporters and prayed for me my whole life. I know the blessing that's on me is because of the prayers of my ancestors who, with their faith, called down favor on their generations. I absolutely believe that. And I do that for mine.
I'm going to stumble through this next part because I was thinking about this last night. Just bear with me. I'm not going to say this right, but you know, just give me a little grace on this one.
Okay.
Do you think that black Christians who are outspoken about their faith are more accepted because people think, oh, I get it. I mean, that's just part of their upbringing. That they must have had a grandfather who was a preacher or something. You know, that's cool. As opposed to the white Christians, and I actually kind of mean more in the Hollywood scene or in the liberal scene or whatever, as opposed to white Christians who are outspoken about their faith, you know, because, you know, like people look at them and think, wow, you're really wound up about your faith. What are you, like Gary Busey? Relax, buddy.
They want to call you a radical.
Yeah, they would call you a radical. When you get black Christians that are sort of all, you know, aiming, you know, because black people, from what I understand, what I learn, just as an outsider, an ignorant outsider, you know, they kind of got that whole amen kind of thing going down, right? So maybe it's easier for people just to put you and Terry into that stereotype of, you know, black church-going ameners.
I get what you're saying. I think there is.
Did it sound as horrible as it sounded when I said it? It just.
No, I think there is a subcultural element of blackness, church, music, R&B, civil rights. It kind of goes in one pile.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think there is a culturally acceptable way to talk about Jesus in the black church that you can't in maybe other situations. I would concur because Family Cruz was on a black network. I think we got more grace to keep our faith in our show than maybe some other people would have. I would agree with you.
Okay.
As to why that is, I don't know, other than to say maybe, like I say, the whole history of civil rights and its springing from church has made it so many of our black leaders are preachers. You know, Sharpton,
yeah,
the King, everybody, so Art Jackson, Jesse Jackson. So we have a connection politically and economically and everything to church So it kind of all runs together, and I think that's just how they see it, because we've played that hand. We've marketed it that way to God's glory, thank God, but we just have.
Okay. All right. No, I mean, I was just wondering about it. I mean, I'm not sure I communicated as good as I could, but...
Oh, it's okay, but okay. I understand it, because I can recall another celeb reality personality stating that her show was edited whenever she spoke about Jesus on her show.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's flash back here. You're in your early 30s. You're married. You got two kids. You got stuff in storage. You got other stuff in a Pathfinder towing a U-Haul, and you crazy cats decide to head to Hollywood. Why? What is wrong with you?
I have no idea. I just say God put it in me, because I woke up one day and said to my spouse, I think it's over. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, Hollywood. It's time to go to Hollywood. You've been saying forever you wanted to go to Hollywood after football, and football is kind of not being so nice to you right now. So let's just go on with the next phase. And he went, really? And I said, yeah. And we took our little, like, 20 grand that we got from the NFL, and we moved. And we came here with nobody and just got jobs and did our thing, and I say God did the rest.
Yeah. It kind of, you know, you really do have a, not a, you know, it's not a rags to riches story, but it's a...
Yeah, it is.
You think it is?
It's a not rags. It's a middle class rags, because I was fairly well off as a kid. My husband's family was probably middle class working people, you know, GM Motors supplied the needs of a lot of people in Flint. My family had professional background. So we both came from families that had a little bit of money, a little bit, you know, we could go to school. But we went through the rags because as a young married couple, we were penniless several times.
Yeah. Well, I just think I think of Kevin Sorbo's story, and I think when Kevin played Hercules, and you know, he literally had $20 kind of a thing going on, if I can remember it correctly. And I've talked to a lot of people that have that whole I was down to my last dollar kind of thing.
We have had several opportunities for homelessness. I am not
several opportunities for homelessness. I love that.
And I'll tell you, my husband will say this. If you ever read, I don't know if you read Manhood, you got to get it. He will say he was not a good money manager.
Right.
And so whatever was coming in wasn't being dealt with, with perfect wisdom. And so Mama was always on the edge going, oh, Lord, Jesus, don't let us die and don't let us get kicked out of this apartment and my light bill is due. And my because he wasn't so, on top of his, his game, his manhood. He wasn't on top of his manhood at the time. He's a man now. He pays his bills. He takes care of everything as he should. And he's, thank God.
Very cool. Coolest person you've met. I got to ask this. It's a cheesy interview question, but I'm doing it anyway. Coolest person you've met, right? The whole celebrity thing, Hollywood thing. A moment when you and the man just got downright giddy because of what you were doing and who you were hanging with. I remember there's a scene. There's one of my favorite bands called Mumford & Sons. And they have a video out there. And it's the moment the crowd started singing their song back to them. And they were just absolutely thrilled. So do you remember one of those moments where you just looked at each other and went, baby, it's happening?
Oh, goodness. I was going to initially say there was this party we attended with A-listers. A-listers. And this was probably 8 years ago as the moment. But you know what I want to say? Watching white chicks in Times Square. I was, floored. My husband is on a building in Times Square singing, making my way downtown, walking fast, pieces fast, and I'm homebound. And I said, that's my husband. And the guy at the little counter says, no. I said, oh, yeah, it is. And I flipped open my wallet. He's like, oh, my God. Do you want a drink? I'm like, sure. I was like, that was a moment that I knew that we were famous.
That's cool.
It was official, oh my God, and it forever changed the way I viewed everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
And he'd been an actor for 10 years at that point, so he'd been on TV and he'd done things. But it's always that next job.
Sure.
You're only as good as the next job. You're only as good as what's next. What's next? What's next? Because people forget you.
Yep.
So you never feel like you made it. But that day I went, boy, if you don't do nothing else, you went down in history with that part.
That's so funny. Okay, so that might be one of your lightest moments. Darkest time? I mean, I know your biological father died in his 20s, I think, but, you know, you and him weren't real close, were you?
Yeah, I don't have any memories of my daddy except that he played keys.
Okay.
And so...
Oh, like you.
It was a hardship due to what we went through in the aftermath, you know,
right.
Loss and the hardships of financial, you know, provision not being there, and mother going into a new career to try to take care of us, and then in comes a new husband. That was a little hard. Dad was a little, you know, dad had a little problem with alcohol, and he's, bless his heart, a good soul today, but there was so much even after in that process that was difficult. And I don't know, if you want to talk about hardships, I pick one. I've had a few. You know, I always say we've been through a lot together, my husband and I. We've been through miscarriages. We lost a baby 6 months in to the pregnancy, and I was done. I was devastated. I said, that's the marriage you don't want to have,
no.
You know. And we lost the house after that, you know.
Oh.
It was the actor strike going on, and we lost our first home. And, what do you do?
Hmm.
You know, but God. And in that, I got what I needed from Jesus Christ. And I went through the healing and had more kids. Thank God. I didn't quit. I have two more precious, amazing, spiritual, beautiful, hilarious, crazy kids that I have after I lost that little, I call him Little Samuel. And, you know, so God has been so faithful to me. I have been through many hard trials, but he's never left me, and he's continually blessing me and lifting me and encouraging me to keep telling my songs as stories to help other people go through whatever they're going through. You know, as I listened to your couple that was on prior to me, I said, that's, you know, everybody's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And I say, what a gracious testimony they have to share their pain and their loss and then use it to be a light to others. That's what it's about. That's what I want to be.
Well, this new single, Can I Stay, drops July 8th.
Yay!
You sound so excited. This is so good. I love this.
I'm like, this is how many years in the making, honey? You
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was a singer, dancer, actress. I was doing Dreamgirls when I met Terry. He was in my crew, okay? He was in the backstage pushing the lights around and all that. I was a star. I was a star in the making.
Yeah.
And then I became a married woman and wanted more babies, and I just laid it all down. Like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this. So to get a record, I mean, I call it a record deal, but, you know, it's all in the Lord's hands. I mean, like, we put it out and we're... I can't even tell you. This is like my eighth attempt, you know, to get out there and actually be able to market the music and really go. And so it's an adventure. I mean, I'm like almost 50.
Hmm.
And to have a dream come true, it's more than I can ask.
You know, I know that you went and watched Motown the musical.
It was so good. It inspired me beyond belief.
Yeah, yeah. And as I talk to you, you remind me a lot of Taraji P. Henson. You know that?
Oh, well, I love her, so thank you.
Yeah, you've got a lot of talent. I think you have even more talent than when you did this little number. Have a listen to this and tell me if this brings any memories back.
Love will keep us together.
Oh, yeah, fourth grade, baby, right there.
Yes.
Hey, can you remember that?
I absolutely do. That was my jam.
Is that the
being
fan?
The captain, hey!
You are such a class act. What a pleasure to talk with you. Folks, you got to get this wee tune. That's my Scottish. Can I Stay? July 8th is when you can get it. And then the full-length album's coming out, what, October? When is it coming out?
Honey, we're trying. We are pushing hard.
Okay.
You know, just doing the single has cost us so much money.
Yeah.
So much time and effort. We are pushing it on those tracks to try to get them all ready. We're going to do the best we can to get it there. If not, it'll be soon. We are pushing this this single so we can just see where radio's going to stick us and then go from there, because the genre of the music is a little on the jazz side, but
love
there's pop in there and other styles. And I want to say, look, I wrote, arranged, keyboard, strings. I'm playing on this. I'm not a little singer. I'm like a songwriter, producer, and so there's other people coming that I'm going to be putting out there too. You know, we're like a music entertainment mogul in the making. Yes, honey. I don't see just the actor-singer thing. You know, I see an entertainment empire. Is that too big?
No. No. You are just a riot. I don't know what... You know, there's a part of me that... that is... I get... You scare me.
Oh, my goodness. Is it the ambition or the blonde?
It's both, baby. It's both.
No, man. I'm just, look, I'm God's girl, and I always had that in me to just be like a taker, like let's get it, let's do it. Anything, yeah. I ran, I was the boss. If I'm the cheerleader, man, I was the captain. You know what I mean? Mm. If I was the singer, I was the boss of the choir. I ran it to death. And so I've just always had that take charge mentality. I said, look, I'm 40-something. Who's going to sign me? I better do this. I better make it on my own. And then they'll come, or when I sell a million records, they'll go, oh, now we want you, Rebecca.
Well, you have just been an absolute blast. Rebecca Cruz, folks, reality star, recording artist, wife of the Old Spice guy, and RebeccaKingCruz.com is where you want to go to creep on her, to follow her, to, you know, find out all the information. She's like a whirlwind. You're not going to be able to keep up with her. I'm just telling you that right now. Rebecca?
Oh, I appreciate that. Look, a little B12, a little vitamin
there you
A,
go.
Just pop a couple pills and go to bed on time.
Well done. Rebecca Cruz, what a treat. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Drew. It was my pleasure.
You take care. Folks, there you go. Rebecca Cruz on the Drew Marshall Show. Short break. When we come back, Cheryl Ladd. And we will turn Tim's mic off.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.